Well, as most of you are aware, back in towards the end of 2013, my wife and I went through some big struggles in our marriage, and I ended up in a Christian counselor's office. And one of the questions that he asked me that very first week that I was meeting with him was, "Paul, do you ever waste time with God? Do you ever waste time with God?" And I didn't really understand what he meant. So I said, "Well, I spend time with God. I mean, that, you know, it had always been a big priority in my life to spend time in Scripture, reading, reflecting on God's Word, spend time in prayer with God each day, just kind of having a devotion time. That was a big deal to me." But he goes, when I told him that, he said, no, Paul, I know you spend time with God. I know that." He said, "No, do you ever waste time with God?" And I was a little hesitant, and I really wasn't clear on what he meant by that. And so I asked him, I said, "Well, you know, I don't know. You know, what do you mean by waste time with God?" And he looked at me, and he kind of smiled, and he said, "Well, that's your homework for this week. Figure out what it means to waste time, and waste some time, and while you're at it, waste time with your wife, waste time with your kids." And that kind of set me on a journey to try to figure out what this idea, this concept of wasting time with God really meant. Well, let me give you a little background on myself and on this whole journey for me. I've always been committed to taking a day off. The Bible says, Scripture says, one of the things that we need is every 7 days we need a day off. God wired us up. He designed us this way. It's part of the Ten Commandments. He says we just need time to refocus on Jesus. We need time to recharge, get re-energized spiritually, physically, relationally, emotionally, all these ways. We need that time. The Bible refers to it as a Sabbath day. We need to pull away. And that's something that I've, throughout the years, I've been committed to. Sundays really isn't my Sabbath, nor Saturdays. That's kind of those are some of my most intense days. But Friday typically has been that day. And I've worked really hard at protecting that day unless there's an emergency, and I pull aside and do that. But beyond that, I've throughout the years been very aggressive at trying to be as productive as I could the rest of the time, trying to squeeze practically every second out of every day. In fact, I remember a time all the way back, and this is kind of my mindset some, all the way back in graduate school, I remember seeing a guy being interviewed on television who had biked across the United States from one coast all the way to the other side. And as he's talking, it comes out that he had done it while only sleeping 4 hours a night. He was biking on his bicycle the other 20 hours a day. And I had like this crazy, very dumb aha moment where I went, "Wow, what if I could do that? What if I could live on just 4 hours of sleep a night?" I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you could accomplish so much more in life if you didn't, you know, like waste your time sleeping so much. So I thought, what if I could do that? What if I could get it down? You know, I would gain like 3 to 4 more hours, not just for my studies, I was in graduate school, but to for relational things, recreational things, all kinds of things. You just have so much more time in life. So I set out systematically to go reducing the amount of time that I needed to sleep. And what I did is every week I would reduce my sleep time by 30 minutes to the point that I got to about 5 hours, 5.5 hours of sleep a night. But I started realizing that I was sleeping through multiple classes that I had, as well as having a very difficult time staying focused and concentrated and all this stuff. And so I realized, you know what? Maybe this isn't such a good idea for me. But with that undercurrent of thinking when it comes to wasting time and stuff, you might realize that whole idea was kind of tough for me to grasp. Even when as I look back on the time that I would take off, my days off, I would almost always spend time reading. And part of that was simply because I enjoy learning and I'm curious about all kinds of stuff. But part of it was because I just wanted to be productive. Even on my day off, man, I want to accomplish something where I can say, "Oh, I did this." And look back and realize that at times, on my day off, part of that was I was just wanting to get recharged so I could dive back in to work that much harder. So it's very driven, very, very focused. Some of you, you may not be quite as bad and focused and driven as all that, but some of you here, my guess is, you're probably worse than I was in that. But what I have noticed and observed in our culture at large is that most of us just live incredibly hectic, busy life. We're just constantly taking on more and more responsibilities, more and more chores. We're already busy. We've already got so many things going, but we keep adding to it, and we end up frazzled. I mean, a lot of times we end up skimming relationally, skimming our relationship with the people around us, skimming in our relationship with God. Many times, even when we're physically present, we're really not fully present. And the result of this just frenzied pace, hyper speed in our life is that we end up with cluttered hearts and cluttered souls. And eventually, as we live with those kinds of hearts, we end up bogged down and worn out. Now, in the midst of all that, we may be accomplishing all kinds of things, but our hearts and our souls start shriveling up. And many times, without us even fully realizing it, our relationships begin to shrivel up. Our relationship with God, our relationships with the people around us. So that was the challenge for me, to figure out what it means to waste time with God. Now think about that for yourself. What would you say it means to waste time with God? What would that look like for you? To waste time with God. Well, one of the things I discovered rather quickly, is it's really never a waste of time to waste time with God. In fact, what I went discovering is that it is one of the most helpful, one of the most constructive, one of the most powerful things that we can do. What I began to realize is that I wasted time with God. What it helped me do is to refocus my life on what really mattered and to recalibrate my life. And during that time, God used a passage of Scripture that kind of ambushed me and just grabbed hold of me. And so I want to look at that today. It's found in Psalms. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and look it up. Psalm 46, verse 10. If you open your Bible up to the middle of it, basically it'll typically fall open to Psalms, so relatively easy to follow. Psalm 46, verse 10. I want you to look at what it says here. God says this. He says, "Be still." We're going to throw it up here on the screen as well. "Be still and know that I am God." That's just where it starts. Be still and know that I am God. Now, I was familiar with that. It never necessarily really gripped me per se, but I was familiar with that part. Second part of this verse, I'd never even really looked at that seriously. But all of a sudden, this passage of Scripture, this verse, just really came to life for me. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, there are three things that I want you to see in this verse, in this passage of Scripture. A very simple verse, and yet very powerful and very profound. Three things that could change your life and change your relationship with God, and then in turn could overflow into your relationship in your marriage, your relationship with your family, your relationship with the people that you work with. If you're looking for that special somebody in your life, this could be some truths and some things that could help you prepare yourself for that relationship that God has for you. Three things. Number one, the first thing we see in this verse is that we need to learn to be still. Number one, we just need to be still. It's what the verse begins with, that little statement. And that little statement right there in the Hebrew, that the Bible was originally written in, the Old Testament was written in, could be translated cease, or enough, just enough already, or stop. In other words, enough of the constant motion and noise, enough of the busyness, enough of the crazy pace of life. He's saying, stop. Slow down. Be quiet. Be present. Undistracted. Get rid of some of the distractions in your life for just a little bit. Take some time to recuperate internally, to replenish. Now, it's not that we have to live our lives, you know, just kind of sitting around contemplating our navel, our belly button, or sitting around in the, you know, Zen position. It's not that. What we need to learn to do is we need to learn to waste time with God. We need to learn to slow down and pause and just be present with Him. Not with a goal or an objective of some kind in mind, but just to spend time with Him. Not to prepare a Bible study. Not to do research. Not out of a sense of duty or obligation. Not to check something off of our spiritual to-do list so we can feel good about ourselves when it comes to God and pat ourselves on the back. We just need to learn to be with God for the sake of being with Him. You see, the soul is at rest when the soul is with God. We just need time with God. It has an amazing calming effect on our lives. It helps us recalibrate our lives. It helps us refocus on what really matters most in life. Now, I don't know exactly what this might look like for you. For me, there's this whole idea of being still and wasting time with God has taken on many different forms as far as the practical aspect of living it out. I mean, one of the things that I love to do in being still with God is I love being out in nature. I mean, there's just something replenishing about that. And so I love being out in the woods. I love being along a stream or a river, or if there are mountains, hills around. I just love being out in those kinds of environments. And just to have the chance to be still and to quiet my spirit and my soul and just be there, be present with God. And so at times, that's what it looks like for me. At other times, it's just sitting in my backyard, maybe in a lawn chair, and just being still in that moment. At times, it's sitting in our living room. We have this really comfortable chair, and I just like sitting there and just being with God. Sometimes it's laying down on the floor, relaxing. Sometimes it's sitting at my desk, and just pulling back mentally from everything that's going on and taking a moment to be with God. Sometimes it's just laying in bed. What I do at times is I imagine that I'm sitting with Jesus, and I'm sitting with Him at a coffee shop or in a restaurant and just talking with Him. And what I try to do in those moments is I just try to push everything out of my thoughts. Try to get rid of all the noise, all the busyness, all the distractions that are around, and just to be there, just to be still, fully engaged with God. And again, what I've discovered in those moments, and what I think you may discover in those moments, is it's never a waste of time to waste time with God. But we need to learn to slow down. We need to learn to be still with Him. Well, there's a second thing that we see in this verse, and that is that we need to take time to reflect on who God is. We need to take time to reflect on Him. The verse goes on and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Being still and present with God isn't just about kicking back and, you know, taking a nap. Although I've got to admit that there are times when I've been wasting time with God that I have dozed off. And I don't even know that that's a bad thing. I mean, sometimes we just need to be able to relax in life. But when we're present with God, when we're wasting time with God, that's a time. I mean, it's kind of like when you get together with anybody. It's a time to catch up. It's a time to talk. It's a time to just get to know each other a little bit better. And that's what it is with God. It's a time to catch up with God. It's a time to get to know God. It's a time to relax, to get to know more about who He really is. And so what I typically do during these times when I push away and I'm just still with God and I'm wasting time with Him is I'll take some time to reflect on who He is. I'll take some time to reflect on His attributes. And a lot of times I'll remind myself that God is a God of love. In fact, Scripture says that God is love. Not that He just knows about love, that He has access to love, but God is love. And as such, He is the very source of love. So if I'm going to live with love, feeling, experiencing love in my life, I realize I've got to be connected to God. I need God in my life. If I'm going to be able to love other people, I need His love in me so that it can then overflow and spill out of me into the lives of other people. And so I a lot of times will take time reminding myself of how much God cares for me, how much He loves me. A lot of times as I'm thinking about who God is and His attributes, I'll thank Him for His grace, an outflow of His love for me, that He gives me what I don't even deserve. He offers me forgiveness. He's the God of the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth chance. I mean, God is just this amazing God that enables me to live without guilt and shame, even though I've blown it and messed up so many times in my life. As a God of grace that forgives me. And even when I repeat some of the same dumb things, He's this amazing God of grace. I remind myself in that grace that He is just so patient with me. Because I blow it so many times in ways that I know better. And I still at times repeat some of the same dumb things. I mean, do you ever do that kind of stuff? Just this last week, we had our marriage retreat, as most of you know, and we had our marriage retreat speaker here. And one of the things that he said during the marriage retreat was that women a lot of times feel very valued and cared for and loved when, as guys, when we step in and we kind of help them out around the house and we help them with the dishes or different things, is that's just a way to express love to our spouses. Well, he was here. I had heard all that, and then Sunday after the service last week, we went home, we ate, and we finished eating, and Melody finished, and she goes over and she starts doing the dishes and kind of cleaning up, and I finish eating. And then while she's doing the dishes, I go over and I sit down at kind of our bar on a bar stool deal there and start talking to her. Didn't really cross my mind that I could like help her put the dishes in the dishwasher or dry the pots and pans that she's cleaning or anything like that. I just sit there and watch her do it. Until she says something about it. How dumb can you be? Amazingly, God is patient with me in those kinds of things. And that's certainly not the only area. We spend a lot of time talking about the dumb things I've done and the rough edges in my life that God knows need to be chipped away at me. And God patiently, He is so patient, He continues to chip away at those rough edges in my life. But in the process, He's patient with me. I remind myself a lot of times that God is all-powerful, that He's all-knowing, that He's always present. Regardless of where I am, regardless of what I'm doing, regardless of what I'm going through in my life, He's there. And not only is He there, but He's aware of exactly what's going on. He's aware of what happened in the past, what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. When I'm so bent out of shape and confused about things, He's aware of what's going on. He's not shocked. He's not surprised. And I remind myself a lot of times that He is sovereign, which means that He is completely in control. See, when I'm confused and I'm not even sure what to do, Do I take this path or this path? I don't even know. Or maybe there's not even much that I can do. But God, I'm reminded, is still in control in those moments. And so I'll remind myself of that. There are times where I'll take some time to reflect back on the fact that he's the good shepherd. Many times I'll reflect on Psalm 23. I want to throw this up here on the screen. This passage of scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." And I just kind of think about that mental image of resting with God in a nice green pasture with streams running through. And this would be like heavenly, you know, for sheep is what it's talking about here as a shepherd. But I'd look at it myself and just think, man, that just sounds calming and relaxing to me. And I'll kind of talk to God and say, God, that's what I need. I need my soul restored. I need my soul replenished. And for some reason, this imagery right here is just incredibly calming and relaxing. It just has this effect on me. And I'll remind myself that as the good shepherd, that God is my provider. And he's my protector. And he's my guide as I walk through life. So when I'm wasting time with God, I like to take time to reflect on who he is, on his attributes, on how amazing he is, on how much he loves me. And I remind myself that he wants what's best for me. He's always there. And he's just such a generous, loving, caring God. This last week in our marriage retreat, the speaker shared about an incident that he thought was a true story. He didn't know for sure it was. I certainly don't know. But it was a story about Arnold Palmer, the legendary golfer. And apparently, at one point, the king of Saudi Arabia invited him over to Saudi Arabia to play golf with him. And Arnold Palmer wasn't really that interested in it. But one of his friends kind of got with him, heard about it, and said, man, what are you doing? I mean, this is the king of Saudi Arabia. I mean, when do you get to play golf with a king? I mean, man, you need to do this. And so finally he thought, oh, you know, that does sound pretty cool. And so he decides to go over there, goes over to Saudi Arabia, has his chance to do this amazing deal and play golf with the king of Saudi Arabia, has a great time. And when all finishes up and everything, apparently the king, part of the custom there is he wanted to give Arnold Palmer a gift of kind of a momentum of some kind. And Arnold Palmer's like, oh, you don't need to do that. You know, this has just been a tremendous experience. You know, really cool, really neat, and all that kind of stuff. But the king insists. And so finally, Arnold Palmer comes up with this idea. Oh, you know, it'd be cool if you would give me a golf club of yours. I mean, that would be neat. And the king goes, oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, I would love to do that for you. So Arnold Palmer leaves, travels back to the United States. And during that time, I mean, he didn't need anything. He's already wealthy and all that kind of stuff. But he really didn't expect anything to come of it. But every once in a while, apparently he would think about it and wondered, you know, what kind of club would the king of Saudi Arabia give you? You know, one where the shaft is pure gold or diamonds on it or whatever. But he kind of pushed it out of his mind. And then one day he gets a package in the mail. It's postmarked Saudi Arabia. And it opens it up, and all of a sudden he realizes, oh, here it is. And so he's curious. He opens it up, but it's not a golf club at all. It's a legal document that's actually a deed to a club, as in a golf course. A golf club, like a country club. And I think sometimes we're kind of like Arnold Palmer, where we think too myopically of God. We think God can only do this little thing here, when we have this amazing, astounding, magnificent God who loves us and cares about us and wants what's best for us and wants to offer so much. Whatever it is that we're facing in life, he's going to walk with us through it. And when we take time to waste time with God, it gives us a chance to remind ourselves of that truth. It gives us a chance to remind ourselves that he's always there, that he really does love us. And he may not always offer us, you know, material wealth or whatever, but God can bless us in so many ways. And whatever it is that we walk through, whatever it is that we go through, he's going to be there with us. I think we need those kinds of times to just remind ourselves of who God really is. Not necessarily having an agenda, but just time to reflect on him. And so what I want to do before we even go any further is I want to take some time today. I want us to pause and be still. Be present with God. And I just want to give you a chance, a couple minutes, to just waste time with God. And for some of you, this kind of stillness that we're going to have, I know anytime we do anything like this, it's kind of uncomfortable. Some of you get a little nervous. But I say you're here, and we're going to do it, so just relax. Just relax and kind of enjoy this moment. Just being still before God. Be quiet with him. Some of you here, maybe you're not even sure that there is a God. And if that's you, I would say, you know, that's okay. You know, we're glad you're here. You know, even though you may not be sure that there's a God, there are many of us here that we do believe that there's a God, and we believe that God knows you, knows your name, and he cares about you, and he loves you. But I would say use this time as a time to just think about your life, and if you have the courage to maybe breathe a prayer to this God that you're not even sure is there, but to breathe a prayer and say, God, if you are there, God, if you're real, make yourself known to me. Because hopefully, if you're here and God is real, you want to know that. So God, show me who you are. Show me who Jesus really is. But before we pause, I want to read this to you. We're going to put it up here on the screen. Just to kind of get yourself set to spend a little time with God. It says, be still and fully present. Don't be wishing that you're someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. It's our responsibility to live and obey and love and believe right where we are. Being present requires time and place, undivided attention, stopping something to pay attention to God, listening, caring, and responding. We need more moments of presence with our God. Has the chaos of your to-do list distracted you from what matters most? And when was the last time you slowed down enough to hear the still, small voice of your Creator? Stop waiting for tomorrow and start focusing on right now. God has called you to your current place of influence. Being still and present means being surrendered to Jesus and submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be present to our world without first being present to our God. So just take a moment to be still and reflect on who God is and just waste a little bit of time with him. So you're going to have a couple of minutes or so. Just be with God. This is your time. Okay, I think some of you fell asleep, so it's time to wake up. But didn't that feel good? And making that a habit in our life can be so refreshing and energizing. Now, when I first started like wasting time with God, I didn't really pay that much attention to the second part of this verse, but it's just so, so powerful. So there's this second thing as you go on, the third thing that we need to do as we look at this verse, and that is number three, that we need to realize that God is at work even when we can't do much. We need to realize that God is at work even when we can't do much, if anything. Verse says, be still and know that I am God. God says, I will be exalted among the nations. Not I might be, or I hope to be, or if you do a lot in your life, then I'll be exalted. Regardless of what we do, he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. See, regardless of what we do or don't do, God is still going to be exalted. God is still at work. Even when I'm still and I can't do much, if anything, God is still becoming more and more famous all over the earth through what Jesus did on the cross to offer us forgiveness and wholeness and freedom and direction. God continues to be exalted. He's at work all around the world. In a lot of places we're totally unaware of. But he's still working. He's still being exalted. And God is at work all around our world. He's at work in our own backyard. Even though at times we may not see it, even though we may not understand it, he's at work. Even when there's not much that we can do to change a situation that we're in, God is still at work. When I can't change the person that I work with, when I can't change the situation that I'm involved in at work, he's still at work. When I can't change my spouse, I can't change this other person in my life, I can't change my boss, God is still at work behind the scenes in ways that I'm not aware of. That you're not aware of, God is still at work. When I'm concerned about my friend's spiritual life or my spouse's spiritual life and they just seem so disinterested in God and I don't know what else to do, guess what? Even in those moments, God is still at work. He's working all around us, all the time. You see, sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that God's timing is just a little off. That God's too slow. And we feel like going, God, hurry up. God, come on. You know, oh, I'm dying right here. God, when is this going to happen? When are you going to come through in this? God, when are you going to bring this special somebody into my life? God, when are we going to sell our house? When am I going to get a job? When are we going to get to change jobs, get a new job in my life? And a lot of times we just get to thinking that God is somehow a little too slow. The reality is God is never early, and God is never late. God is always right on time. He's at work many times in ways that we don't see, in ways that we don't understand, but he's at work bringing glory and honor and fame to himself. And what I've discovered is that the best thing that I can do is just to follow Jesus and to cooperate with what he's wanting to do in and through my life. I realize that how I want to live my life is saying, God, I don't necessarily understand everything that you're doing. I don't necessarily understand the timing of how you're doing, what you're doing. But I do know this, and that is that I want to cooperate with you, and I want you to be exalted in my life. God, what I want is I want to know you better. I want to know you more fully. I want to live my life more in sync, more in harmony with you. You see, what wasting time with God does is it keeps us living dependent on him. It gives us a time to remind ourselves that he's the one that is ultimately in control. and not us. What we need to do is we need to position ourselves to let Him do what He wants to do in our lives. We need to live our lives reminding ourselves that He's the one that's in control. And we just need to cooperate with Him. We need to position ourselves in life to be where He wants us to be, to do what He wants to do in us. And from the time that I was a kid, I've enjoyed playing and flying kites, like this kite right here. And the interesting thing about kites is that kites are utterly and completely dependent on the wind. And you can't fly a kite without wind. But not only do you need wind, but you've got to catch the wind. You've got to position a kite to where it can catch the wind in order to soar up into the air. And when you catch the wind, man, it'll just take off. I remember as a kid, a lot of times, tying two spools of string together and just letting it go fly so high. I mean, at times it'd take like 30 minutes or longer just to reel it back in. But the key about kites is they're completely dependent on the wind. Somewhere along the line in our lives, we've gotten the sense that we're the ones that are in control, that everything is dependent on us. We just wear ourselves out a lot of times trying to keep everything going because we're afraid that the world, or our little world, is somehow going to fall apart without us. And so we live our lives trying to control everything, trying to control people, trying to control situations, trying to change people. And the reality is, what we need to do is we need to live our lives much like a kite, utterly and completely dependent on God, on the Holy Spirit of God, positioning ourselves, cooperating with God, so that He can energize us, trusting Him to guide us, to give us the inner strength that we need, trusting Him to help us walk through whatever it is that we're facing in our life. But you see, whatever it is that we're doing, whatever it is that we're not able to do, God is still in control. God is exalting Himself. God is bringing glory to Himself. God is at work. God is changing hearts. He's changing lives. He's bringing wholeness and hope and love and fulfillment and inner peace into people's lives. Not always in the way that we would think that He should, or we would hope that He should. Not always in the timing that we would like to see God working. But God is at work. He's at work all the time. And what we need in our lives is we need time to be still, be quiet, and to remind ourselves who God is. That regardless of what I'm doing, what I'm not doing, and even though I think I've got to control everything, I can't. He's the one that is in control. And what I need to do is I need to position myself to cooperate with Him and let Him energize me. And let Him help me soar and put the bounce back in my step. I need time to remind myself of that. So how do you say, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this week, wasting time with God? Begin to incorporate that into your life. And I don't know exactly what that looks like for you, but determine that you're going to begin to waste time with God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Stop. Pause. Be present. And reflect. Reflect on who God is. Remind yourself what an amazing God we have. And I think what you'll begin to find, what you'll discover is what I discovered. That it's never a waste of time to waste time with God. It's just not. It's never a waste of time to waste time with God. So pause, stop, be still. Take some time to be with God, be present with Him, Allow him to encourage you and change you and guide you in your life. And we're going to pray here in just a minute. But just think of what it would be like if we were to make this an ongoing pattern, an ongoing habit in our life, and we would be exalting God. I mean, he's going to be exalted anyway. But we would be bringing glory to God in our own lives. We would be walking more in step with God, more in sync and harmony with God. Instead of living our lives at this chaotic, crazy pace that so many of us live, we would be slowing down. We wouldn't live as uptight and anxious about everything, thinking that everything depends on us when it really doesn't. We'd be living more like a kite, allowing the wind of God's Spirit to lift us up and give us that inner strength, put that bounce back in our step. As we begin to live with that greater awareness of God, instead of all frazzled and worn out, it'll calm us down and help us to see with greater clarity what it is that is most important in life. And over time, what I believe you'll begin to see is that begins to overflow to how you see the people in your life, how you see your spouse and your family and the people that you work with. Because you begin to see people more through the eyes of God. And you'll realize, like I've realized, it's just never a waste of time to waste time with God. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would teach us to be still and to be present and to waste time with you. Instead of living the frenzied pace, just hectic, chaotic pace that so many of us live at, I pray that we would learn to rely on you. And we would spend time, just waste time with you, being present, not with an agenda, not with something that we're trying to accomplish, something that we want from you, but just to know you more fully and deeply. And to be able to live with a greater awareness of how truly amazing and magnificent you are. God, I pray that we would position ourselves like a kite to allow the wind of your Spirit to allow us to soar. God, as you exalt yourself in the world, as we cooperate with you, I pray that you would go shaping us into your image, allowing us to live with that inner calm and peace that only you can bring in the midst of all the frenziedness around us. If you're here today and you never opened your life up to Jesus, maybe today you've realized, wow, I need this kind of God. I want a relationship with him. Right where you are, you could open up your heart to him and say, God, I want Jesus to be the forgiver, the leader of my life. I want to live my life in sync and harmony with him. I want to follow Jesus from here on. God, draw us close to you. Help us to be still in your presence and to enjoy you and to know you more fully and deeply. In Jesus' name.